Good morning, Luke 418 Fellowship. We're so glad that you are here with us, either in the room or on live stream. The leadership team just wanted to let you know that we're praying for you in the life of our church as we remember Brother Ed Keyes, such a significant example of someone whose life is totally running after the Lord. And we'll be able to remember him this week. We're so excited to do that. Everybody that I talk to has a special story about Brother Ed and how they impacted their life. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that later on in the worship time today. But right now, let's go ahead and stand together and worship the Father, because these are the days that we are going out into the field and bringing them back in. Let's sing, "These Are the Days of Elijah."
"And these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'"
Sing it out.
"Behold, he comes, shining like the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes."
Days of Ezekiel.
"And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest."
Amen.
"The fields are as white in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes."
And why do we have hope? Because he is a God like no other. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like...
If you believe it, sing it.
"There's no God like Jehovah. There's 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 no God..." One more time. "There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah."
Sing it out.
"Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet calls, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes."
Amen. Amen.
"Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down.
Let us love.
Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we would follow after no other name but You. We would run to Your arms this morning.
You are good, You are good. When there's nothing good in me, You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope. You are hope, You have covered all my sin.
You are peace.
You are peace, You are peace. When my fear is crippling, You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, You're the reason that I sing. You are love. I'm running to Your arms, I'm running to Your arms. The riches of Your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to Your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more, You are more. And oh, I'm running to Your arms, I'm running to Your arms. The riches of Your love will always be enough, and nothing compares to Your embrace. Light of the world forever.
Sing it again.
I'm running to Your arms, I'm running to Your arms. The riches of Your love will always be enough, and nothing compares to Your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. But Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, I'm running, and oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign.
Let's just sing his name one more time.
My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Let's sing how great he is this morning.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. That God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Sing it out this morning.
Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. together. Dear Heavenly Father, you are great. Your creator, your sustainer, Lord. You've created us to know you, Lord, and you let us do that by becoming more like you each and every day. Thank you for your Son who has given us salvation. And we know that if we turn our eyes to you, you'll heal us, you'll heal our land, Lord. And we know that you hold all things together, Lord. So we pray we turn our eyes to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a hymn that everyone knows, but it has a few new verses, another chorus, and we hope that you will sing this with us. So let's sing this together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Turn to him this morning. It'd be a great time for you to do that. Amen. Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ, the lion awake.
Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ, the lion awake. What a glorious dawn. Life in our veins. turn our eyes to you.
Well, it is a joy to be here today. I know that each of you mourn the passing of our dear brother Ed. You know, as we walk through this week and the news of this week, it's been a difficult week for all of us. It's reminded us that life is truly but a vapor. And as we have seen over the last 6 weeks, the passing of brother Fred and now the passing of brother Ed, may we remember that it was Christ in them. And the ministry that we saw in their lives was the Holy Spirit of promise that lived out through them. I love what Brother Ed always said, that I know that Christ is in me because the life that I live today, I never could have done in my own strength or my own power. Now, I always remember the words of Brother Fred saying, you know, Brother Ed is more spiritual than all of us. If you don't remember him saying that, he said it quite regularly. But you know, I just thought back to all the times when I would call Brother Ed and he would say, well, David, how are you doing? And how is your walk with the Lord? Every time he would ask me, how am I walking in the Lord? He was always focused on the King. The celebration of life will be this Tuesday at 11 o'clock online as we are walking through COVID-19. Y'all understand why we are doing that online. Those who have looked and saw the obituary, it did not have a time. It's 11 o'clock. It'll be online. Just like with Brother Fred's celebration of life, you can go to YouTube, Facebook Live. You can go to our website with live stream, and you can be a part of that. You may want to write a card to the family. You can bring that up here. We'll get that to them. We'll even mail those to them if you write that after they have already left. But it will be here at 11 o'clock, and it will be online. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's pray for the family during this time. Many of you have asked, David, did you make it down there before he passed? And I did. I was there Monday morning with Brother Ed and Miss Jan and Marcy and Derek. I didn't get to see David, but I'll obviously see him soon. But let's go to the Lord in prayer for the family. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, we thank you for giving your life that we may live. Holy Spirit, we thank you for indwelling us that we may live in the newness of life, in the likeness of the Son, in the likeness of our Father. Oh, Father, we thank you for the life of Brother Ed. Father, though we mourn the passing, we rejoice that he is with you for all eternity. And Father, I pray for peace and comfort to the Keys family and, Father, to the church family. When one mourns, we all mourn. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And Father, that peace comes in the midst of the tears, in the midst of the pain, because we know that our hope is in the eternal rock, and we all have the same hope, which is in Jesus. So we know that Brother Ed has fully realized that promise of eternal life. And Lord, this is not a goodbye, but it's a see you later because of your Son, Jesus, who has paid for each of us that we may have life. Now, Father, this morning, as some are even traveling here to the Mobile area, we pray for safety on their journey. Put your guardian angels around them, Father. Lord, this morning as we proclaim your words, Lord, I pray you'd get me out of the way. Father, may my mind be clear, focused on you as Aaron just sang. Now, Father, may we Shema, listen and obey what you are speaking to us today. For it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to ask you to open up to Ephesians chapter 4. And also, go on and open up to Romans chapter 6. You can put your ribbon there in Romans 6. We're going to do some reading today. I hope that's okay for you. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture out of Romans 6 as well today. Now, we have been talking about, and this is our third part of a seven pillars of the faith, so to say. It's the seven pillars that we must all believe and agree on. This is not something that is negotiable. When we talk about one faith and we talk about one spirit, when we talk about one Lord, one hope, one baptism, this is something that we all come together as those who are in Christ Jesus, and it unifies us in the Spirit. Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is who brings about that supernatural unity. Let me just remind you that the body of Christ has unity that no other organization or no other group of people will ever be able to experience. Because our unity is not something that we do in our own power or in our own strength. The source of the unity is the triune God who has always been and will always be in perfect unity and community. So when the world looks at us and sees a unity that they cannot produce, they will begin to say, how? Why? What is different about you, about y'all together as the group? And we say it's the Holy Spirit. We say it's the blood of Jesus Christ. We say it's God the Father, which tells me that when there's division within a body of Christ, it is very, very, very important to get our eyes back on the King. Because if there's division, then we are ultimately just reflecting the world. Because the world has division within their organizations, within their groups of people. We must walk in unity that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. Now, we have kind of gotten stuck on these verses, but we're going to keep moving along. I promise that once we get through verse 6, we'll pick up the pace a little bit faster. But the Holy Spirit put on my heart that we must look at each of these seven pillars. It says this in verse 4. There's one body, let me go back to verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just also as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Well, today we're going to be picking up with one baptism. Now, as we begin this, I just want you to know that as I studied baptism and just really dove into God's word, I was just overwhelmed with the understanding, the depths of what we're proclaiming through baptism. I have never preached a message on baptism. I've shared about baptism. I've spoken about it in our new members class. But I've never actually had a message where we discussed and looked at baptism. So if we don't get to the seventh point today, just understand I am super excited about what God, the Holy Spirit, is going to speak to us today. I wanted to begin by sharing with you two baptisms that I did. The very first one that I ever did was at Camp Grace. It was a brother and a sister, very first baptism I ever did. And the interesting thing is that as we, Brother Fred and I think Brother Fred said, this is your first time, David, I got to be right there next to you to make sure that you know what you're doing. But what was interesting is we didn't know how muddy it was. And so we get out there, and the brother and sister comes out, and I still to this day, I love these two students. They both went with me to Israel, just means so much to me. Well, they walk out that day, and we baptize them, and then all of us are stuck in the mud. Like, literally, Brother Fred can't get out of the mud, and I can't get out of the mud. And the kids were able to, they were able to get out of the mud, but Brother Fred and I were stuck. And then I'm trying to pull off my shoes so that I can get out of the mud. Brother Fred was like, wait, I can't move. And so it was just, it was a muddy mess there at the end because we couldn't, we were stuck. But the important part was what happened in that moment. And we're going to explain that here in just a moment. And I'm talking about the actual baptism of these two students. But I also remember one time being here at Luke 4:18, and I went to baptize a young lady, and instead of her turning this way, she stayed this way. And when I went to go back, her head almost hit the back of the baptistry. And when that happened, I said, hey, I need, she was like, why aren't we going down? Like I realized she was about to hit her head. So I was trying to kind of help move her forward so she wouldn't hit her head. Well, when I finally went under, she was so confused that she was like breathing in. So when she goes under and the water was like coming in, she comes out of the water and goes, and I don't know if y'all remember that day, but y'all were all laughing, and I was like, oh no, like, do we need to do this again? Like, and so anyways, that moment, she comes out of the water, and she was, and she breathed, knowing that she had life. She had life. Paul is sharing with the Ephesian saints, these new believers, those who have been transformed from death to life. They heard the gospel and believed. And he speaks to them that there's one faith. There's one hope. There's one spirit. There's one Lord. There's one baptism. Now, I know that many of you today are probably thinking, okay, David is going to talk about the actual baptism, whether it's sprinkling, whether it's dunking. But that's not actually where I'm going to go today. We're going to look at baptism. Baptism is a proclamation. It's a proclamation of an internal decision. It's a proclamation to show the church what has taken place on the inside. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, baptism is a proclamation of belief and trust in Jesus as your Savior. Before we baptize, we always ask somebody to share with the body of Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Have you submitted to His Lordship? Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Baptism is that proclamation, speaking to the body of Christ, speaking to the world, that they have submitted their life to the Lordship of Christ. Now, we often share that, and that's usually about as far as we share, is that, hey, this is a proclamation that we have submitted to Christ's Lordship. But I want to look and go a little bit deeper, because baptism is also a proclamation that the old self has been put to death. The old self has been put to death. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, and you'll see this on the screen. You don't have to flip there because I do want you to go to Romans 6 in a minute. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 21, it says this: For Christ also died for sins once for all, and just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Look at what it says in verse 19. in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. It says this, who once were disobedient. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through what? The water. Now, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, okay, David, like you're gonna have to help us understand this. First off, Peter here, this is Peter speaking in 1 Peter, and Peter first goes back to Noah and the ark. Think about that for a moment. In the days of Noah, none of the people were righteous. They were all doing what was right in their own eyes. And to the point that God said, I'm going to destroy all things. But he saw Noah, and he saw that he had a heart for God. And he said to Noah, go and build an ark, for it's going to flood. Now, I can't fathom what the people would have said to him, saying like, hey, it's going to flood? What is that? Like, really? You're going to build an ark? You're going to build a big old boat? And then animals are really going to just come? Like, I can see Noah saying, somebody asking, hey, how are the animals going to get there? He's probably said, God's going to do it. I don't know, but God's going to do it. We'll just have to wait and see. You'll find out when I find out. And then they came 2 by 2. They go into the ark, and God shut the door of the ark. Why did God shut the door and not Noah? Because God's judgment was upon the people, not Noah's judgment upon the people. Now, what did the waters of the flood do? What did the waters of the flood do? It killed everything except for the 8 and the animals that were in the ark. The waters of the flood is a representation of death because it destroyed everything that was not in the ark. God's salvation for Noah took him through the waters in the ark. The ark is an example of God's salvation for those who are believers, trust in him. So we see that the waters represent death. And what was it a destruction of? It was the old self. It was the people who would not turn to God. It was those who did what was right in their own eyes. It was our old self. So what about baptism today? When we say buried with Christ unto death, and we place ourselves under the water, just as in Noah's flood, God's flood, Noah and the ark, when we go below the water, we are proclaiming to the world that my old self is dead. That I die to my old self. Look at what it says. Flip to Romans chapter 6. And I want to read a little bit, if y'all don't mind. And so in Romans chapter 6, I'm just going to pick up in, well, let's just start in verse 1. And we may go through the whole chapter here, 23 verses. But let's just start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? How can we who have been dead to sin now live in that sin? Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? Have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Brothers and sisters, let me stop there for a moment. Do we recognize that when we go into the baptismal waters before the body of Christ, that when we go under the water, we are saying that we are burying the old self? The old self. Listen, you cannot say that you are in Christ Jesus and continue to practice and live in sin. Now let me just say that again, and then we'll look at that for a moment. You cannot say that you are in Christ Jesus and continue to practice and live in sin. And people do it all the time, which is why our world is so confused about what it means to be a believer in Christ. People say, hey, I believe in Jesus because they want to go to heaven, but they will not submit their life and surrender their life to the lordship of Christ, and they continue to live a life of sin. And let me tell you something. When you stand before a holy God, I believe that you will come under severe punishment for proclaiming Christ, but living a life that is in contrary to who he is. It says right there, we just read it. How shall we, verse 2, who died to sin, still live in it? You may be sitting there in your seat and you say, well, hold up, David. Like as a believer in Christ, I struggle sometimes and I walk in sin sometimes. I do. Like that happens. Listen, that happens to all of us because we're all under construction until we step before holy God. Everyone, even Brother Ed. I mean, I have never met somebody as humble and that I saw the Holy Spirit so on as Brother Ed. And he was even under construction. He's not anymore. Oh no. He's now with the King forever. So it's not that you're not going to have times of struggle. The flesh and the spirit are fighting against each other. In the flesh, when we take our eyes off of the King, as Aaron just said, what happens is the flesh begins to take over and we end up walking in sin sometimes. It happens. But in Galatians chapter 5, here's what it says, and I want to just read this to you. We'll go back to Romans 6 here in just a second. But in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the deeds of the flesh. And it says this in Galatians 5. It says, 19, verse, chapter 5, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, dispute, dissension, faction, envy, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the key word here is that word practice. Because practice means a continual doing. You're okay with it. You continually practice sin. Listen, I want to practice righteousness by seeking God's word and disciplining myself for the purpose of godliness. See, as a believer in Christ, we don't practice sin. We don't live in sin. Why? Because we've been buried under the water. The water represents the death of the old self. We cannot call ourselves in Christ Jesus if we continue to practice sin. We'll pick back up in Romans chapter 6. It says this in verse 8. Well, let me go back to verse 7 because we didn't read that. It says, for he who has died is free from sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is to never die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Just think about this for a second. The first proclamation I said was a proclamation that you have trust and belief in Christ as your Lord and Savior. But what did it say there? It says that we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that what? God raised him from the dead. This is very important. You have to believe that God raised him from the dead, because it's that raising from the dead that also raises us from the dead of sin. We're raised to walk with Christ. Raised in newness of life. It continues on. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to be a sin to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Brothers and sisters, do we recognize that when we go into the baptismal waters and we go under the water, that we have laid aside the old self. And we must now let that be shown through our lives by the Holy Spirit of promise in and through us. It says this in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Wow. What an incredible statement. So let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. Those who have been baptized, one baptism, that's all of us. Baptism is the same proclamation for you as it is for me. Have you died to the self? Have you placed the old self down? Have you said, I recognize that my old self has been buried, and now I have been raised in Christ? Listen, we can't just flippantly say, well, if I don't sin here, if I don't sin there, so be it. You know, no, we have to focus in on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and recognize that our life is now alive in Christ, and the old self has been laid down. Look at what it says in Romans 8, 9 through 13. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you were according to the flesh, you must die. And here it is. Check this out. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So how do we put to death the deeds of the body? How do we crucify the flesh? He says it right there. If by the Spirit you are putting to death. See, it's not just, okay, I go under the water and all of a sudden everything's done. I've laid it all down. It's a daily yielding to the Holy Spirit of promise, abiding in the Son. And that fruit of the Spirit comes forth bringing life every day through your life. We must yield to the Holy Spirit so that every day we crucify the flesh. And let me tell you something, crucifixion is painful. It's painful. I struggle sometimes even looking at crosses because they look so beautiful. Let me tell you something. It wasn't a beautiful cross that Jesus was upon. No, there were splinters. It was a difficult sight to be seen. Every time he would have pushed up to breathe, that wood was not nicely smoothed and glossed over. No, it was splinters going into his body. It was a painful thing. Crucifixion was painful, and they showed it to everybody because they wanted the world to see how painful it was, that it would scare them and put them into fear, that they would not do something of whatever that person was being crucified for. Brothers and sisters, crucifying the flesh, it's painful, it's difficult, but it's yielding to the Holy Spirit a promise. It's seeking God to search me and know me, Psalm 139, and show me anything in my life. See, even Paul says this in Ephesians 4. We're in Ephesians 4, just not to verse 22. But in verse 22, he says that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self. Lay it aside. What do you reflect? Do you reflect the old self? Or do you reflect the new life in Christ? So baptism is a proclamation of your belief and trust in God. Baptism is a proclamation of you being buried in under the water and laying your old self down. But let me tell you, baptism is a proclamation of being raised to life with Christ. Paul's even said this in Ephesians chapter 2. He said this, he said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 through 6. It says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Look at verse 6. And raised us up with him. You know, all throughout the scripture, what do we see? We see that it talks about salvation is being raised up with Christ. Raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When he's speaking this in Ephesians chapter 2, he's saying, you were dead and now you're alive. When you go into the baptismal waters, you proclaim to the church, I am alive in Christ Jesus. You're saying, I'm laying the old self down and I am alive. Romans chapter 6 verse 4, we just read it, but I'll just read that one verse. It says, therefore we have been buried with him through the baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. You are proclaiming to the church, I've laid the old self down. You are proclaiming to the church that I am being raised to walk in the newness of life. I am being raised through the power of God. It says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I just read it, and I'll just show you this one verse again. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So it's a proclamation of belief. It's a proclamation of the old self being dead. It's a proclamation of new life being raised to walk in Christ. But it's also a proclamation of obedience to God's word. Look at what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He told the people after Pentecost, or right after he had preached and shared the words, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they said, what must we do? And he said, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, do you recognize that baptism is obedience to God's word? You may be sitting there today and you may be saying, David, I've never been baptized. I'm not saying you're not saved. Because salvation is through the Holy Spirit, through Christ, through the Father, being raised in Christ Jesus. But what I am saying is that you're disobedient. You're disobedient. Because God's word calls us to proclaim to the body and proclaim to the world that my trust and belief is in Jesus, that I am laying and burying my old self, and I am being raised to walk in Christ Jesus. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be fearful of. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and he is all you need, which he is, if you're truly submitted to his lordship, then you're going to live a surrendered life of obedience. And it calls us to be obedient. It's also, there's another proclamation here. One more proclamation today, and we'll see if we can keep going, but one more proclamation. So we know that we are proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. We're proclaiming that our old self is dead. We're proclaiming that we've been raised with Christ. We're proclaiming that we're living a life of obedience. And then here's a big one. Not that any of those were huge, right? But here's a big one. Baptism is a proclamation of being part of the body of Christ. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. When you come before here at Luke 4:18 and you are baptized before the body of Christ, you are proclaiming that I am in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you are part of one body, locally and corporately. When I say locally and corporately, y'all understand what I mean because we've already discussed this. We've already taught on this. Locally here at Luke 4:18, but Luke 4:18 is part of the corporate body of Christ. We're all on the same team together. But here's a problem that we have in our society is that people will get baptized because they feel like they're supposed to. They don't fully understand and recognize what they're doing. And then after they get baptized, they go and live on an island by themselves. If you are being baptized into one body, what family says, well, I'm part of the family now, but you know what? Y'all stay there and I'm going to go live over here. You don't just simply say, hey, I'm part of the family and I'm going to go and live elsewhere. See, it changes your relationship. Previous to salvation, we as the body of Christ are called to love and share the truth of God's word to you. Right? That's biblical. We recognize that those who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior is not the enemy. They are our mission. We're called to share the gospel with them, to love them and share the gospel of Christ with them. That does not mean that we are called to minimize the sin or even enable the sin. We are called to speak truth in love to non-believers. But when somebody goes from death to life and become part of the body of Christ here at Luke 4:18, we are now called to walk in relationship with them. All those things that I shared with you about community and about life groups, we're called to live authentically with that person, to share our life with them. We're called to pursue them relationally, to share with them our life. We're called to counsel them biblically. When you see somebody being baptized and we're all excited and we're cheering, do you realize that you now have an obligation to walk alongside this brother or this sister to counsel biblically? You now have a responsibility to admonish faithfully. You have a responsibility that when your brother or sister is walking towards the old self, for you to say, hey, let me share with you what the word of God says, to come alongside and to admonish faithfully with gentleness, as the scripture says. Do we do that? Do we recognize the importance of how their relationship, I keep pointing back here because of the baptistry, do we recognize that their relationship has changed with us? Or do we just say, great job, and then we just kind of forget that that person was just baptized? And then, see, if we just forget that and let them go on their way, then what happens is they naturally will go onto an island. A lot of people tell me, they say, David, I was baptized at a young age, I was saved at a young age, but then I wandered. And I truly believe that the reason that so many people wander is because the church does not come alongside and begin to live authentically, pursue relationally, counsel biblically, admonish faithfully, and live missionally with them. We got to teach them the Great Commission. I mean, you don't just come out of the baptismal waters and be like, okay, I got it all together, I'm ready to go. We have to teach and grow and walk together. But here's the beautiful thing. Everything I just shared about you towards them is also them towards you. As they grow in the Lord and mature in the faith, they too are called to live authentically, to pursue relationally, to counsel biblically, and to live missionally. Now, I must say, the body is one. We're one. We all are baptized, one baptism. Every one of us that when we are baptized are proclaiming the same thing. Jesus is Lord. Old self is dead. I've been raised with Christ. That now I am part of the family. But we must recognize that there is no division in baptism. You know, baptism can create division in the church today. One has a view and an understanding. They say, well, baptism saves you. That's not in this word. One person will say, well, I was baptized by this person. Somebody will say, well, I was baptized by Brother Fred. Somebody else will say, I was baptized by Billy Graham. Another person would say, I was baptized in the Jordan River. And we begin to hold that mantle. And what we forget and miss is that what baptism's all about. And it's about the fact that Jesus Christ paid for you and I on the cross. And that we were dead. And now we've been made alive. Listen, I remember who baptized me. I remember it, but I won't tell you today. Because it means nothing. What means everything is that Jesus Christ saved my life. And the old self has been buried under the waters. And praise God, he's raised me to walk in newness of life. That I'm in Christ and I'm part of the body together. That's what matters. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the King. Hey, listen, even Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 1:10. That you all agree that there be no division among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. And then what does he say? I'm glad that I didn't even baptize any of you. Because some say you're a Paul. And some say that you're of Jesus. And some say, and you name all these. And he says, is Jesus divided? No. He says, we're not called to walk in this division. He says, I'm so thankful that I did not baptize any of you. He says, verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not in cleverness of speech, so the cross of Christ would not be made void. He said, listen. Jesus is not divided. There's no reason to have division based on baptism. We have all been baptized into one baptism, into one body, and that baptism proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. We've submitted to his lordship. It proclaims that the old self is dead and we must live accordingly. It proclaims that we've been raised with Christ. It proclaims that we are now part of one family. It proclaims that we're obedient to God's word. So do we recognize the importance of baptism? You may be sitting here today and you may be saying, David, you know, I've never been baptized. You know, there's no better time than the present. There's no better time than now. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to share with you. I'd love to set it up for us to baptize. Body of Christ, one of the reasons that I spent so much time today on baptism is so that when we do see people in the baptismal pool, we are excited because we recognize the importance and the reason of baptism. We begin to see them as one body and being together with us. You may be sitting here today saying, you know, I never thought about those who were baptized that I'm called to live authentically. I'm called to pursue relationally. I'm called to faithfully admonish. We're all part of the body of Christ. That the Holy Spirit of promise is the one who gives us that unity. The one who puts that all together for us to walk in. So that when the world sees, they say, how? And we say, it's the Holy Spirit It's the Son of God. It's the Father. I want to close by saying this. I share with you those stories, and they mean so much to me. Every baptism means so much to me. But you know, it's easy for me to think about the funny moments where I can't get my feet out of the mud, where Brother Fred couldn't get his feet out of the mud, and we were both stuck. It's very easy to remember that moment where the young lady almost hit her head and all this stuff. But I'll never forget that when she came out of the water and gasped for air, the Lord spoke to me and said, "That's exactly what's taking place." She was dead. And she came raised in Christ. And she breathed. And she gasped and she breathed so big and everybody heard it. Brothers and sisters, that's what's happened to us when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. We take that breath, the breath of life. May we continue to surrender and crucify the flesh and show the world that we are alive. And things that are alive, they breathe. May we show the world that we're alive in Christ. May we let them know so that when they ask, we say, repent and what? Be baptized. Repent. Turn to the Lord and be baptized. Let's pray.